is not how I wanted it. I don't want it to be like that. Anyway, this is the first episode of Within the Realm, which is our new podcast. I took part of our Sierra Nova podcast, and this is what I made out of that. So, yeah. We have a couple guests here. Fish. What's up?
What is up, man? Glad to be here.
Yeah. Aaron.
Bonjour.
Ed. Eric.
What?
And John. Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, Mittens 3 is in production, okay? So the show is a little different from the Sierra Nova podcast. We just used to ask a bunch of questions, and it got stale because that's like a bunch of podcasts used to be like, oh, we're going to ask the same 10 questions, and then we look at your Kickstarter, and that's it. I came up with an idea that I think is cooler than that. So, Jay is Jay Sloan. He's supposed to be here. I'm waiting on him. So he can just jump in at some point, I guess. Kind of sucks because, like, part of the thing that I'm doing, it kind of requires everybody. But, yeah. So maybe we'll go around the room first, and then we'll get into what I want to do. So, Fish, who are you? What do you do?
I am Mr. Fish from Mr. Fish Comics. I am the fastest working man in indie comics. I have worked on over 85 books, I think, now since 2019. Helped my clients raise over 130 grand on Kickstarter and such. I am now on my 13th book of my own, I think, in the last 2 years. Most of those have come out last year. And I am in the middle of running a Kickstarter for The Mighty Caw, The Cro-Magnon, issues 3 and 4, which follow the deadliest warrior in the galaxy, Bird Barbarian from outer space, as he's killed his way across the galaxy, and now he's shipwrecked on a lost planet at the end of the galaxy and besieged by Serpent Men, and it's just like a hyper-violent love letter of Saturday morning cartoons.
Cool. Aaron?
Yeah, my name's Aaron, and I run Catalyst Comic Studio. I'm also a graphic designer, and I work with a bunch of different clients as well for web design and editing, scripting. Today, I joined the Deer Hunters Club. I killed my first deer. Unfortunately, it was with the front of my car. So, but I think it still counts. The meat's pre-tenderized, so hit it going 70 miles an hour, so it's gone. But yeah, so that's a fun day, and that's who I am.
Cool. All right. Ed?
I'm Ed Davis. I run Finish Line Comics. Currently, we publish 2 books, Corruptor and Immortal Era, and I'm just about to start fulfilling Immortal Era when my books show up on Thursday. So Immortal Era 9 will be going out, and then Corruptor 2 launching right after that.
Eric?
Hey, I'm Eric Franklin. On Instagram, I'm Eric on Paper. Legally, they wouldn't let me change my name, but the fundraiser I'm doing today is actually a film project that I'm working on because I'm also a filmmaker. It's a sci-fi adaptation of the novel Don Quixote, and yeah, it's a really unique take on it. I'm pretty excited. I've made a couple like shorts and another film that's in like it's in the sound design phase, but we're gearing up to shoot this one this summer, and I'm extremely excited about it.
That's cool. John.
I am John Westhoff. I'm the writer, letterer, publisher for Part-Time Comics. We are the publisher of such awesome books like Drumsticks of Doom, which just came in the mail. You see the garbage behind me as I'm in the middle of fulfillment. We have 17 books we've published since 2001, and at least 3 more by the end of this year. So, I'm happy to be here.
Cool. And Jay.
I'm Jay Sloan. I am co-owner and art director of Unparalleled Comics, creator of Dragonfly and Anomalistic. Unparalleled Comics, we have 5 titles out right now, with each having 3 to 4 issues apiece. And we're working on more issues for all those this year, as well as adding more titles and growing as a company.
Awesome. Cool. Well, now you know all them. That's the end of the show. So this is a little different from our original podcast. So each episode I'm going to like kind of have a little fun with it. So the first episode is called Wasteland Adventures. We have a nether realm in our comic universe called the Noctum Realm, and you guys get to be the first people to be inside of that. So yeah, we're gonna start. So you all been thrown into this red portal and you're inside of the Noctum Realm. There are only two ways out, and you guys do have options. So for this stuff, so
I killed John.
Okay, well, so option one is sacrifice one of your teammates. All of you are on a team.
Aaron's got it down.
You're all, the rest of y'all are welcome.
So that's how it ends. because when you sacrifice someone, the blood like creates portal, and it's creepy. So yeah. So there's that, or we can actually have fun and do do the other thing.
Sorry, I already said it.
So, John, I guess you're dead.
Man. All right, so what's next?
No saving throw, no nothing.
Yeah, man, I don't even get a
no chance to dodge, no nothing.
What are my stats?
Well, if you want to play along, we can. If you don't,
I won't kill John.
We'll just say John lives in my universe and he can't die, so let's move on.
Okay. I'm that floating head guy.
You're the floating head guy now. Yeah, he decapitated you, but you just get to live as a head. It's a shit existence, but you know, it's still better than dying right away.
Okay.
So I don't know. So Aaron's brutal, so there's nothing I can do about it.
Look, someone had to go. And it's I've been on too many shows with John.
All right. So we're gonna play along because we didn't hear what Aaron said. So you guys are walking in the wasteland and you come across this like broken down shack. And there's various weapons. So each of you can pick a weapon between like these weapons. So there's a sword with a small red glow, a dagger, a double-sided axe, a bow and arrow, a spear, and a wooden staff. So, like, whoever wants to pick.
I tell Aaron to kill me with the sword.
But I kill him with the axe.
I pick bow because I actually know how to use it.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll take the glowing red, definitely cursed sword.
Definitely not cursed.
I'll take the staff and go with my Hebraic roots. You can call me Echaron.
So there was a spear?
Spear? Yeah.
I'll take the spear.
Okay, cool.
What's left? I'll take the scraps. Or I'll pick up a rock if there's nothing else left.
I think you got it's double-sided axe or dagger. I'll take the dagger because I'm least likely to hurt myself with it.
Okay. So I guess I got the axe. Oh, no, Aaron's killing with the axe.
Again, no, I have the staff.
Oh, no, you got you. That's the staff. All right, so I'll take the axe then. And
again, you're all a team, so don't kill your teammates. Friendly fire is...
We kill Greg.
I'm the narrator. Can't kill narrator.
Oh, who can? Have you ever read folklore? Never mind.
All right. So now you guys have your weapons. You're walking through some more of the wasteland. In the distance, there's a group of evil creatures. They're like these weird looking monsters. Because just imagine really evil creatures. So they'll be in your path soon. So you can either attack them or you can just sneak around them. So which option?
Are we greatly outnumbered?
So I have a wheel.
First question. Are we us or are we characters?
You can be whatever you want. This is made up.
Because I'm a crippled giant. I don't sneak around shit. I'm not getting through the woods without making a commotion.
I am also constantly singing by accident, so I don't think I'm going to be able to sneak either.
Okay,
so
we got the warrior, we got the bard.
Well, take him head on, then.
The bar right. picked up the staff, though, that threw everybody off.
Yeah, I can get them from here, so I hung up about it.
Okay, so because you chose to, you know, fight them, you did win, but someone did die, and I have a wheel of names, and I get to choose which one dies.
Wheel of names.
Me.
So let's present that.
I never missed dice so much.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Let's see who dies.
Yeah, next time you need to tell us to bring dice.
Yeah.
All your guests.
John.
This is rigged. It's rigged.
That's hilarious.
We should have just gone with Aaron's plan in the beginning. Aaron had it right.
I'm the narrator.
Was it friendly staff fire? That's what I want to know.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God. All right.
I'm so sorry, John.
So John's dead.
You tripped into the staff 14 times.
Dice roller. Oh, the dice roller. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was thinking of that, but I was like, I'll type a bunch of names in.
All right. Hey, who's a healer? Bring it back up.
I can shoot him with an arrow.
Okay, so John's dead. Now, there's a cave in the near distance to the right. This will be where you, like, learn training for the dark magic to, you know, create a portal to escape. It's like Ink's power, but, you know, more dark. So you can either go to the cave, or you can not choose the cave and go to a small wooden bridge with an odd man that makes you answer three questions. Which I didn't make the question, so...
Are you the odd man?
Health arrow.
Is it like trivia questions or riddles?
You ever watch Monty Python?
I've never heard of that. What is it?
I'm not picking this time. I killed John.
All right, I'm headed to the bridge because I want to see what the questions are.
I don't have them. I have to make them up as I go.
You're gonna have to.
Greg, why didn't you prep this?
Oh, everything else is prepped. It's just that is like the thing I forgot because I had a meeting with Dylan and then I had to do other shit.
Yeah.
So he just assumed we'd pick the cave, so he's like,
all right. Yeah.
They're not going to the bridge. They want to get stronger and train. Like, no, we want to answer questions. We got trivia masters here.
Well, all right, ask us questions.
So, okay, so you're going to the bridge. All right.
The answer is 42.
Oh, well, you win. Okay.
Bring me a strawberry.
Okay, now I have to figure out the questions.
Oh, my goodness.
What is my favorite color?
Burgundy.
Does everyone get an answer?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with black.
If we get it wrong, are we dead with John?
Black? Black's not a color.
Yeah, you're right, but you just seem like the kind of person that would be like, black.
I'm going to draw my bow at the funny little man and tell him his favorite color is blue.
There you go. Roll for persuasion.
Yeah, it is blue.
All right.
Okay. There you go.
I thought it was.
You guys got one question. All right. I should have just... figured out these.
This is how I run all of my games. So
yeah. Bad. What is the wind speed velocity of a hidden swallow? Takes John's deck. How are you going to kill yourself?
35 miles an hour.
What is the name of Aaron's superhero character that I like a lot? And Aaron can't answer this.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Which one of these characters?
There you go. Someone said it.
Yes.
Anthony. Oh, I was going to ask that question and he had to be like, hey, this is bad. All right. What Comic-Con did I attend this weekend without looking on Facebook?
Saratoga?
Yeah. Okay. So you guys pass the bridge and the story continues the next time you come on. Okay. So John can come back now.
Oh, hell no. What's up, dogs?
Oh. So, do you want your dagger back?
Yeah, when you guys, like, I'll have you guys all back at some point, and we can continue that.
Nice. Because,
and I'll actually have questions prepared, because I'm pretty sure you're going to run into another person like that. Yeah, hilarious. So, all right, let's go over the Kickstarters that people have. So, I guess we'll start with Fish. So, what is your Kickstarter? Why should people back?
It is the Kickstarter for issues. Make sure I grab the right ones here. Issues 3 and 4 of the Mighty Caw, the Cro-Magnon. He is a bird barbarian from outer space. He was a slave in the battle arenas on his homeworld, where everybody's evolved from different species of birds, and the Cro-Magnons are kept as slaves. And he became the deadliest warrior in the galaxy. He became one of the most famous warriors. And then eventually the other Cro-Magnons started asking questions like, you know, well, if he's the baddest guy there is, then why are we slaves? And why does he get to fly and we have to keep our wings shackled? And you don't want your slaves asking those kind of questions. And next thing you know, he starts a, you know, impromptu slave rebellion and is throwing off the shackles of oppression. And the cybernetic rulers of the planet can't stop him. So they hire these space pirates to capture him and take him off world. And they do that, but then they have the deadliest warrior in the galaxy on their ship. And he breaks free and slaughters him with one hand tied behind his back and crash lands on a lost planet at the end of the galaxy. And issue 3 is shipwrecked on the lost planet. And he meets a savage warrior woman named Kes, who's based on my daughters. And then chapter 4, they're besieged by serpent soldiers, and we have to see if they can work together and quit fighting with each other and beat the serpent men, or are they going to, you know, get slaughtered? We'll have to find out. I got the awesome Seth the Moose to do me some variant covers that we just unlocked as add-ons. There's also a new tier where you can build your own tier with whatever you want out of the add-ons. And
oh, that's cool.
You can get all of the back issues of all the other books I've done, like the Fishtails Anthology, T-Man and Hyperstrike, which is a superhero story about a team with Tourette Syndrome and ADHD, Green Zone, The Mighty Caw, all of those books are available. There's T-shirts, there's the whole nine yards. We still got some other cool stuff that's going to get unlocked. And I've been doing free add-ons for all the physical tiers. Like if you got in the first 48 hours, you got this sticker sheet of The Mighty Caw. And then after that, it was this cool giant holographic sticker. And right now, if you join, everybody that's already backed it gets everything from when they backed on. And they get this new bookmark that has a little short story comic on it that tells you how Ka got his name and how he ended up in the arenas as a fledgling, which is pretty cool. It was cool to actually get to put that down on paper and draw it out. And then we got some stretch goals, like everybody getting acrylic pens. And if we get to 2,000 over goal before the end of the campaign, I'm going to do custom printed Gemini mailers for everybody. And lots of cool stuff.
That's cool.
Get out, check it out. Go, MrFish.com.
Awesome. Okay. You get to pick the next person to go.
I say John, because he's had a shit time.
Yeah, he's been killed twice. Come on.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I'm here to sling. I've been doing the comics thing like Fish there for way too long, about 15 years now. And, you know, in all that time, I have never been accepted or invited to an anthology I didn't co-create myself. But somehow, in the last year, I've been invited to about 4. So I have one that is coming up from the awesome Comic Unknown. Mr. Alvarez invited me to pitch him a horror story. And I'm teaming up with artist Orlando Guzman from Tennessee. And we are doing a horror story about a feudal town that has a monster that visits every so many years. And what are they going to do on the eve of it coming back? So there's 12 other creators in the book, so there's over a dozen of us. It's going to be 64 pages, huge prestige size book. And yeah, we're actually launching this coming Monday.
Awesome.
Cool. Awesome.
I put the link in the thing for you. I don't know if you want to look at it.
Oh, yeah. You have 107 followers. hours. You know? On scales, I had like 30, 40.
Oh, the second link I put is actually a preview of the Kickstarter.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I don't know if you want to put that up or
go through it. Do you want me to?
Yeah, sure. Oh, okay. You get the exclusive, Greg. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I didn't pitch to a ton of them, but you know, I had some trouble getting some stories out there. So it's really nice to be invited. One of my longtime co-collaborators is also doing his own story in here, Bobgar Ornelas, called "Ingrown," about an ingrown hair that goes wrong in a woman. And there's just so many cool stories. We're in a chat group and Instagram, and everybody's just super excited. I love the process of anthologies. Like I said, even though I haven't had a lot of success getting into them, I've helped co-create about 12 different anthologies. We did anthologies about music, anthologies about horror and all kinds of other genres and mixed genre anthologies. I love anthologies in general. So it's always really cool to be invited for somebody to actually reach out to you and say, hey, you know, I think enough of you to be in this book is just, it's an incredible honor even after all these years. So mm-hmm. I'm just so happy. I mean, you see, you know, some brief previews here, some of the reward tiers. We're going to have, I think Mr. Alvarez is actually insane. He's letting every story get a cover. So there's 10 stories and then there's a main cover. So there's 11 covers to this book. Pick the ones you want. I'm also donating, you see there, the KBP presents is some of the past anthologies I've worked on. A lot of the other creators have books. So, you know, just for doing the digital tier, you're going to get a million books from all of us. Again, you can get an awesome package of all the covers there. There's most of them. I think we're actually missing a few. There's Orlando's there in the middle, but in the small thumbnail. But yeah, it's been a cool and fun process. It's always great to work with people. You know, I've known Orlando for about a decade. I met him through friends at, you know, comic conventions, and he's an up and coming artist who's really just excited to get his work out there. So that's always cool too. When somebody says, this is my first anthology, or this is my first time in a book, or this is my first time being invited to an anthology. You know, I just like that whole process of getting different people involved, and that excitement kind of reinvigorates you to create. So, but that's the book in a nutshell. Again, 64 pages. It's going to be huge. Yeah. Again, the cool, sweet prestige style format, you know, that I know longtime comic fans are big fans of, like when Marvel did those prestige books with the little square binding. Really like those. So yeah, it launches Monday, so please follow. If you can't back, give it a share. We really do appreciate it.
Cool. All right. Who do you pick?
And I'm going to pick Jay to go next. He's quiet down there on the bottom.
Known to be quiet. All right, so the Kickstarter I've got going on right now is it's kind of two parts. We've got a new title that we're launching called The Last Owling. We've got four issues of that. It was actually co-created by my business partner, Ray, with John Rhodes, and they published the first four issues with Hyperverse Comics, but it was a nudie book, and we've edited it and turned it into a teen book. So we took all the nudity out, changed the sexually suggestive language, so it's more of a all ages book, and we're relaunching it with on our label, and we also have the trade coming out for it on this one. And so basically she's taking on the mantle of crime fighting hero from her grandmother, and so she's new to it. So it's kind of about her learning the ropes. It's a street level, more gritty kind of superhero book. And then we've also, since this is our fifth year making comics, we're doing a catch up with all our previous titles as well, with special variant covers, exclusive T-shirts. And then we've added ball caps, coffee mugs, and a few other things that we haven't had before. But this one right there, Stellar Odyssey, that was our sci-fi book. Written by Brian Hawkins and illustrated by Elton Tomasi. Got three issues of that. Issue 4, which is a double-sized issue, is in production. Operation Eclipse is another street level hero. That's my business partner, Ray. That's his book. We've got 4 issues of that out. Fifth one is in production. And then Dragonfly is the book that I created. First 4 issues written by Brian Hawkins again, illustrated by Flavio Rodriguez, another superhero book. He is obsessed with getting revenge on the crime family that was responsible for the death of his father. And he meets a young woman who's a jazz singer, and she happens to work at the club that is owned by the same crime family. So there's a whole little thing going on there with him finding out about her working for them and complications with the relationship and that. And then the suit that he wears, he stole from a government program, and they have operatives that are chasing them down, trying to retrieve the suit, get them back from them. Cool. And then also we just did a free comic book day book. So anyone who backs the Kickstarter gets a copy of the free comic book day. If you back for physical rewards, you get a printed copy. If you back for digital, you'll get a digital copy.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah. I like Dragonfly.
Dragonfly.
Yeah. All right. Who do you pick?
I'll pick Aaron.
All right. So which link do I share?
Yeah, since I have multiple, I'll try to do all of them pretty succinct. I guess the top one.
Okay. Oh, wow. This is still going. Jeez.
Yeah, still going. All right. So, I believe in you. You can do this. All right. So, this is Trade Injustice, issues number 1 and 2. This is from a really newer creator, Ralph Madrigal. He kickstarted issue 1 at the end of last year, and it went really well. And issue 2 is also doing really well. This is a story. He's been a sheriff's deputy on the South Texas border for years and years. And this story is what he was writing while he was out and dealing with all the craziness of dealing with the cartels and stuff like that. And I mean that all in real life. This story is how he kind of copes with all that. So he brought me into script and then Joe DeSantos to do the art. And then now Van Claridge is added in for lettering. But it's basically the story of a family who gets thrust into pretty awesome powers and balancing how the heck to make that work. It's really about faith and justice and fighting and cosmic stuff. And dudes have a lot of power and they're fighting against pretty evil dude, but it's a lot of fun. So if you're into that kind of stuff, you know, the first issue kind of explored the intro of how they all, you know, got powers. And then the second one, we're kind of slowing it down to explore what happens when you think you're doing something good for your family. Are there repercussions for it? So that one's doing really well, luckily. And then I have 2 more things. You don't really even necessarily need to show them if you don't want. It's kind of up to you. But the next one is we successfully funded Fall of Night back in, I think it ended in March, February, and then February or March. And that was a really good project for us. It was the best one that Catalyst has put out so far and probably the most talked about one. So that one is also, if you missed out on it, over on Indiegogo, but only for the physical cover and retail tier. But if you missed out on the cool stuff, sorry, you should have been on the Kickstarter. But that's a really fun project about a Templar knight who goes AWOL and ends up in feudal Japan. And it's a crisis of faith story about, you know, a Templar knight figuring out how to cope with the things that he's done and seen and what he thought was done for the honor of God. And then realizing that it was really just some man's whim and he was kind of at their mercy. So it's a very heartfelt and gritty and realistic story. It's a lot of fun. Check it out. And then the last thing is the One Last Job graphic novel might come out in June, might not. I guess we'll find out. So I'm still bouncing back and forth with the idea, depending on how much, you know, how confident we feel about it. But that one will be the closeout for that entire series. So it is a miniseries. That'll be One Last Job, the graphic novel, closing out issues 1, 2, and 3, which is about a spy who loses somebody and has to hunt them down. So that's another fun one.
Okay. And I guess you don't have anyone to pick because Eric is the last one that has a campaign.
There's also Ed, but he's
just forgot about
out.
Ed there,
well,
huh?
Well, Ed,
yeah. I can still promote some stuff.
Yeah, Craig.
Yeah,
but
jeez.
Okay,
I pick Ed.
Well, okay,
yes.
First, you kill John.
Kill John. Pick me, because I guess I'll trump some, but I'll be quick because I mean, I have upcoming things. Immortal Era 9 is about to get fulfilled. Immortal Era 10. We're getting that colored right now, so that should be launching in August. Corruptor 2, the colors are finished, so I'm hoping for a June launch of that one. And then trying to kind of help boost up my YouTube page. So what I'm doing is anybody who wants a one-minute review of their book, I'm doing these little quick one-minute reviews, and it's way harder than you think because condensing it down to, in YouTube algorithm, 59 seconds, every draft starts at like 3 minutes and like, oh shit, what do I take out? But yeah, this is one of those things. If you have an active campaign and you want to help get a boost, I don't know what kind of boost I'll give it, but I can promote it, do a quick 1 minute review and get those up there on the YouTube. So that's, I'm trying to grow that and do something that helps people with active campaigns. So if anybody wants their book reviewed, shoot it over to me and I'm happy to do it. And then, yeah, like I said, Corruptor will be the next one. Pre-launch for that one should be up in about a week. So yeah, that's all I have. I don't have anything active right now, but please head over to the YouTube for Finish Line Comics.
Yeah, do that. That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Eric.
Okay, so the Indiegogo I've got running now is for a feature film. It's a sci-fi adaptation. There it is, of Don Quixote. We're just calling it Don. It's a contemporary take on the story of Don Quixote, where it's about an older man who suffers delusions, and in this version, thinks there's a government conspiracy trying to poison the town in which he lives in. And if you've ever read the book, it will enhance the film, but it's not like you need to read the book to enjoy the movie. Yeah, we have a lot of cool perks, like obviously, you know, the obvious stuff like digital copy or a physical copy of the movie, which a lot of people are going for. We have copies of the script and things like that, but also one of the things we're pretty about is a lot of the delusions that Don's are very sci-fi themed and oriented. For example, like where Don Quixote saw in the novel like an army of sheep, he sees an army of killer robots. Where he sees in the novel like a puppet show, he assumes that it's like mind controlling things from the government. The film is very darkly funny. At least I hope it is. I mean, I laugh, but I'm kind of a weird guy. But yeah, we've got 14 days to go, and we have an incredible cast. We just went through over 200 people auditioning. It's weird. It turns out if you pay people, that more people want to show up and apply for the job. It's crazy. We're pretty excited about it. We're going to use the funds that we have to shoot as much of the film as we can as like a proof of concept. Even we may open it up to additional funding down the road. We're starting production with our cast in June into July. And yeah, we're extremely excited about it.
Cool. Awesome. So, I don't know what I was going to say.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
You're just bowled over by all the pitches, right? You're like,
yeah.
It's just floored at how much money he's going to have to spend. Yeah. I feel you. I'm in the same boat.
I have a hard enough time with the Kickstarter stuff.
Well.
Oh, okay. I did.
John
I
dies again. John dies again. Damn, three deaths in one podcast.
I should have just renamed this episode like John dies.
Over and over.
Death
of he was John. Saying something too. We'll yeah. never know.
I think he said, "Oop."
He has something profound to say.
Well, did you use the dagger on yourself? What did you do?
Yes.
The thing was, I can't imagine running one for a film. I don't know why. I certainly appreciate those who want to take that endeavor, but yeah, that must be a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it is. Well, that's the thing. If I'm doing a comic, like, I can do it all by myself. And
right.
You have to hire a couple of artists or a letterer or something to do it. Trying to get a whole bunch of people and actors that are good and wardrobe and I couldn't organize that many people.
I'm kind of like, imagine Steve Rogers saying I can all day, like beaten up, bad, or just do stuff. But yeah, you can't let anyone see that. I'm just telling you guys in the live audience. But but honestly, it's like I've been working on comic stuff too, and for the persistence it takes to put out like quality issues, when you guys are saying, oh, I'm on issue 3 or 4, I'm like, crap, it's still just redoing one that I'm not happy with. So I applaud all you guys for like having the courage to like say, no, we're putting this out there. We're going up against everybody else.
Well, I remastered Seer Chronicles like 3 times. So.
Oh, shit. Not me. There's no going back, only forward.
That's right. That's Amen. What I do. Just keep going. Don't start Lucasing up your stuff. We've seen what happens.
I do have one book that I'm going back over and over. Just it's my baby, and I want it to be, you know, when I put it out, I want it to be my best, put my best foot forward. But my other books that I'm on now is like, I know, you know, this is my first time around. I've been doing it for several years, but I'm going to make mistakes. Mistakes are going to be made. It's not going to, you know, not going to be my best product on these first several comics. So cutting my teeth on some superhero books, and then, you know, once I feel more comfortable and get some of these mistakes out of the way, then, you know, I'll start going in on my the ones that are closer to my heart.
Yeah, like Ink One was really short. It's like 9 pages or 11 pages or something, so I'm adding to the story. The art is just going to be updated because, you know, his art has improved since then, so that's all I'm doing when we do the trade for that next year.
Yeah, I think I'm biased, but Ink 3 has a really great variant cover. I may have penciled the variant cover for Ink 3, but I'm just saying it's the one that I should buy.
It's the one to buy.
That is the one to buy. And the main cover, I'm waiting on that. So, but yeah, he's busy with like Marvel cards and a million other things.
Marvel? I don't know what that is. Anyway.
So, Ed, are you doing Corruptor next, or are you going to do another Immortal?
Corruptor will be next, because that one, the colors are done, so that one just needs to be lettered. And then it'll go to Immortal Era 10. So the plan is issue of Corruptor, issue of Immortal Era, then one-shot little new story that I'm doing, and something that's not in any connected universes, and I don't have to worry about it, so... That'll be the fourth one for the year. So that was my goal for the year. And the last one will be something no one's ever heard of from me. So that'll be, it'll be nice, because I don't have to worry about, okay, how does this affect that? Because I'm now bringing in, I just finished the script for Immortal Era 12, and I'm bringing in characters from Corruptor into that. So I have to juggle characters and storylines, and you know, it's like confuse editors. It's like, okay, I'm not editing Corruptor, so now I'm lost. Like, what's this character doing here? But it'll all make sense in the end.
Look, cool. Corruptor 2 is looking smooth, too.
In Corruptor, in Immortal Era number 30, right? Isn't it the 30th year old?
Yeah, it'll be around a while. But yeah, the overlap will start. And Corruptor's just going to be, it'll be 8 issues, but 4 issues that will take place before Immortal Era. And then the last 4 will be when Immortal Era ends, I can tell the second half of the story.
Interesting.
How long, Jay, is like Dragonfly going to go?
So the first story arc is 4 issues. The artwork is all done for issue 4. It's in colors. But I've got I got another writer is working on the next story arc. And so let's see, that will bring us up to 10 issues. I mean, it may go on for a while right now. So, but right now it's scheduled for 10.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got bored like a couple months ago and I started making like a Google sheet of like my whole timeline of projects, and it goes to like 20, 50 something.
Yeah. Yeah. No shortage of content.
Hey, Aaron, when is Tilt coming out again?
He doesn't know.
Yeah, no specific dates, but I actually do think we're probably going to see a Paradigm 2 pretty soon.
Nice.
Basically, what happened was, for those that don't know me, I used to have a co-owner named Matt Sotelo, and a couple days ago, he was like, hey, man, I'm moving to Florida. It's like, that's cool, man. And then he was like, also, I have like those files for Paradigm 2. Do you want them? I was like, yeah. And so he sent them to me, and he had done like 20 pages. So I was like, first off, why didn't I know this? And then I was just like, all right, well, I guess we should put that on the calendar somewhere. So Joe DeSantos is going to step in and match Matt's style to close it out. And then we'll probably campaign that at some point.
Oh, that's cool.
So hopefully if that starts doing okay, we'll jump back into Tilt once Paradigm catches up a little bit.
Cool. John, where's Mittens 3?
I don't know. I keep asking for it. It's not here. I look around. I got stacks and stacks of Mittens, but no Mittens 3. Get my retail tier ready. I'm ready to support it.
I'll make it $100 this time.
I'll pay it. I'll pay whatever you want. Now I have to complete the set. No, because I don't have a lot of all ages books. Mm-hmm. My one all ages book is long out of print. So it's like, I think it'll be cool. I've done that with Joseph Deweese too. You know, it's like swap some books, buy some books, you know, it'll help kind of fill out my table or put tiers in Kickstarter. So if anybody else is interested in training,
that's a good idea. Cause I got nothing for kids when they walk up to my table. And it seems like every story I write gets a little darker and worse than the one that came before it. So I'm like, damn, I'm just going to have to put a wall around and like keep the kids away. But yeah, I need some family stuff. So I was like, okay, I don't have to just shoo you off and like, don't even open that book. You're going to open to the bloody page. And that's the severed head one. No, not for you.
Yeah,
I Mittens doesn't decapitate any heads, I'm hoping.
We don't do anything too like risque, like for the art. But I remember when I used to do conventions with my previous co-publisher, he would bring the art and they would always flip to like the one risque page, you know, it's always the one where you can see through the woman's shirt or something. I'm like, there's like 2 pages in this whole portfolio and the kids always
that's
find
the one. Oh yeah.
But yeah, no, Mittens, I'll pitch it for Greg. Get it. It's a cat. He's flying around in space. He eats tuna sandwiches. Any kid would want that. My daughter likes it. I like it.
Yeah, that's actually how we made so much money this weekend. Is like just people passing by the table were like, "Do you like cats?" And then that's what pulls people in. And I'm like, "Ha ha! I have superhero comics too." And then they're like, "Oh, well, that's kind of cool too." I'm like, "Yeah, it actually takes place like 40 minutes away."
It's fun when people actually do want indie superhero stuff, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah.
Well, superheroes are dead. What are you talking about?
So we have stacks of free chibi stickers on the table, lures the kids into the table, and then they bring their parents, and then they sell the books. Yeah.
We gave these away for kids, just you know, coloring pages, but they have our QR codes on them. And you know what's funny though is like asking a kid like, "Do you want a free coloring page?" They're just like, "No."
Yeah, they learn to say now. No. I had Star Wars coloring books that I got at like the dollar store, you know, something. For free comic book day. But yeah, it's always funny though when a kid picks something up and their parents are like, "You want to get that?" And they're like, "No."
Yeah, so we just started directly asking the parents, like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, or adults would be like, "Do you want a coloring page?" And adults are always like, "Heck yeah, I want a coloring page."
That's why I made the bookmarks with the little comic strip on it, so it's cheap and easy to hand out and be like, you know, who wants a free comic? And you can go on there and scan the QR code, sign up for the newsletter, get 2 free digital comics. Like, you know, get an email, give stuff away for free. Who wants free comics is a good hook to get people in. I started making these little mini comics, like, you know, the little He-Man mini comic size. And so cool. I can print these things for like 17 cents. You know, you can sell that for like $1. I'm going to make some packs that have like a Mr. Fish wristband, trading cards, a stick of gum, the whole 9 yards, you know, and be like, you know, hey, you can get this cool pack for $3. You can get 2 for $5, you know, but like have stuff that's cheap and cool and an easy, like little sell for like the kids. That's not, you know, cause really too bloody for most of the kids, but this isn't. This will tell you who the story is, but it's not super gory. You know, my T-Man Hyperstrike book about a hero with Tourette's and ADHD, that's all ages friendly. But I do have that same kind of problem though, because people look at the artwork and see the big bird barbarian and it looks like Saturday morning cartoons, and I'm like, this one isn't really for the little kids. Like, there's a lot of heads turned the wrong way and people holding their insides. Like, it's not for little kids, unless your kids are like mine. If your kids are like mine, sure, let them read it. You know, my kids would have been fine with it.
I was going to say, I tend to work with a lot of artists like yourself who are more cartoony, and that, you know, the parents will be flipping through it. I'm like, well, I really don't have anything for kids. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you know, it's graphic language, violence. And I'm like, but there's no nudity. And they're like, okay, that's fine. He's heard worse language.
Oh, every time.
Every time. They're, yeah, they're like, you can murder any player you want, but don't show any boobs.
Yeah, they tell me all the bloody video games they play. And it's like, yeah, we don't care. It's like, Their favorite show is South Park. We don't, you know, just let them read the book. But I always just say, parent disclaimer, do you want to let me open this? Because the staple page in issue 1 is the one where one of the characters is lying there, her arms cut off, and there's just blood pouring all over the page. And that's the one it always flops to. So it's like, all right, we're going straight for the goriest page that's in that issue.
Mm-hmm. One of the cool things that happened was there's a kid that was going around the con, and he's like trading things. He didn't have money, really. So he was just trading things off. And he came up to our table. We do not play D&D, but it's still really cool because I really like Legend of Zelda. And it's a like master sword, and you can slide it, and it's like it holds different dice.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, this is worth $50 because I like traded it with a bunch of people. I was like, oh, cool. So each comic here is $10. I'll give you 5. And then whoever wants those comics, now those people can read their comics. It's like, oh, okay. So
that's cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. That's super cool. I was like, I would give you mittens too, but we sold out of that. So.
And the kid's like, sucker, that thing cost me $10.
Yeah, it's cool. Okay. Well, that about does it. So let's go around the room again and tell people where you are, where people can find you, and all that. We'll start with Fish.
All right. I am Mr. Fish from Mr. Fish Comics. You can go to Go Mr. Fish right there, and GoMrFish.com will take you right to the Kickstarter for The Mighty Caw issues 3 and 4. I mean, you can get all 4 issues. You can get the source book that tells you all about the home world. You can get like the 11 or 12 back issues that are available on there. Everybody that backs at a physical tier, the sooner you get in, the more cool swag you get. Right now we are down. We've gone past the sticker sheets and past the holographic stickers, and now we're to the comic strip bookmark. And there's going to be more stuff that comes out throughout the campaign. So if you back now, you'll get more of that stuff. And go check it out. It's brutally violent Saturday morning cartoons. It's just fun. It's like Flash Gordon meets He-Man by way of the Thundercats. It's just, you know, outer space barbarian fun. And it's good times.
Aaron.
Yeah, so we talked about the things earlier, Trade Injustice 1 and 2, they're on Kickstarter. Fall of Night, if you missed out, it's on Indiegogo. And then One Last Job might launch in June, who knows? It's a mystery. And then please check out CatalystComicStudio.com. Website's all up and running and everything now. And you can find me at cons finally again this year. I'm finally going back. I just found out today, I'll be hosting a panel at Three Rivers Comic Con. That's in June. And then I will be at the Wake Forest Comic Con in North Carolina. And then I'll be at West Virginia PopCon with Joe DeSantos, who is the artist for Fall of Night and the artist for all the tilts. So you guys can get stuff signed from both of us. And then I'll also be at the first Brothers Boyd con in August as well. So come check us out and, I don't know, tell us weird things at our table.
Ed.
So launching in June will be Corruptor number 2. I'll be posting new content on the YouTube channel. I have a few cons coming up as well. The first one is going to be Nashville Comic Con. So I'll be heading to Tennessee for that one. So it should be fun. I hit pretty much all the local cons, and I just found out that I'm going to be speaking on a panel at San Diego Comic Con. So that's nice. Going to be pretty amazing. Awesome. So I get to speak on a panel with other indie creators. So that's kind of the big dream, like actually standing on the San Diego Comic-Con stage and probably in front of like 20 people, but I don't care. It'll feel good.
Eric.
Hey, so Eric, you can find me on Instagram at Eric on Paper. And I would encourage everybody, if you want to support indie cinema, if you want to get new voices in, if you're tired of hearing the same, you know, recycled formula, please back Don on Indiegogo. Lots of great prizes. Digital copy is only $10. I would encourage you to give more because then we get to make more of the movie. But, you know, whatever you want. So please also back these fantastic creators. I've been looking at your websites, and you guys are all amazing.
Checks in the mail, buddy.
You're right.
I'm on all social media as Jay Sloan. You can also find me under Unparalleled Comics. Unparalleledcomics.com is also up, has all of our books available on there, as well as through our Kickstarter, where you can find some exclusive covers, variant covers, t-shirts, and other exclusive merch. Brand new title, The Last Owling. The trade paperback is available through there. Dragonfly will be launching in June, we're shooting for. Right behind that in July, we got a brand new title coming out, Ginormous, created and written by David Tickner and Drew Rose, art by Daniel Franco. Later this year, we have another new title, Alex Ghost, debuting, and then we have more Operation Eclipse and more Stellar Odyssey coming this year as well.
Cool. And John, I guess.
And I'm John, I guess, and you can find me on Part-Time Comics right here. That's the best place to find us. All of our social medias are there. Any way you prefer to follow all of our latest crowdfunding. I'm part of 4 more campaigns this year, 2 anthologies, 2 of my own, another anthology that's doing a pre-order, not on a crowdfunding site. I don't know why anyone would want to do that. So I have a lot coming out this year. I'm very excited for the rest of 2024. So Part-Time Comics with an X on all social media.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks for those watching, and we're watching, and thank you all for coming.
Yay. John died.